A Matter of Spirit is the quarterly justice journal of the Intercommunity Peace and Justice Center. This article appeared in the fall 2019 issue on childhood. Parenting for Peace and Justice by Lynn Herrick. Lynn Herrick, a volunteer with IPJC since 1996, developed the IPJC Parenting for Peace and Justice program 14 years ago when her first child was a baby. She is married to John Gordon and is the mother of two children, Kevin, 14, and Simone, 11. The great joy of her life has been to teach immigrant and refugee students in middle school and high school, mostly in the Highline public schools. Lynn currently works as an assistant principal at a public high school in Federal Way, Washington. As I write this, my kids, ages 14 and 11, are in the kitchen arguing about the injustice of having to do the dishes. And I wonder, what credibility do I have to be writing an article on parenting for peace and justice? There isn't much peace at the kitchen sink tonight. And according to my kids, probably very little justice. Shouldn't my kids be beyond petty arguments about the fairness of chores? And yet, here I am, writing to share a small bit of my parenting journey thus far, hoping it resonates with other parents, or at the very least, helps them feel less alone. 14 years ago, Sister Linda Haydock and Sister Judy Byron of IPJC came to our home to meet our new baby. While chatting, they asked me what I thought about a Parenting for Peace and Justice group. I was already part of a mom's club that met to discuss infant development, how to feed our babies, sleep troubles, and more. But something was missing for me. The idea of gathering new parents who wanted to explore topics of peace and justice as they relate to parenting struck a chord with me. I said yes. I set about forming a group that would test each meeting agenda before I finalized it into a program guide. Gatherings included a meal, prayer, a children's story related to the theme, and discussion. We settled on 5 themes: peace and nonviolent communication, simple living, care for the environment, nurturing respect for diversity, and living in a global world. Underneath it all, I think, was a desire to raise children who would care for others and the world around them. We also wanted an experience of community and spirituality. I recently met up with friends from that first Parenting for Peace and Justice group. They helped me to reflect on the parenting practices that seem most helpful in fostering our children's spiritual growth and raising the social conscience of our children. Here are a few of the things we learned, and continue to learn, about parenting for peace and justice by developmental phase. Babies and toddlers. Exposure. This phase of life is a time to expose children to different environments and activities. One practice that helped us become more aware of our children's exposure was doing a personal diversity audit. This is a checklist tool in which you take stock of the diversity present in your home and daily activities. We considered the gender and race of those who provided our family with services and identified how often we see women and people of color in professional roles. We looked at whether the faith community, sports, lessons, and daycares we chose reflected a diverse community. We analyzed the art, magazine, books, and media in our home to see if we were exposing our children to multiple races and histories. We asked ourselves whose stories are represented, overrepresented, and underrepresented, then sought out stories to teach our children a truer and wider history of the people in our community and world. Preschool and early elementary. Fairness. At this age, children begin to notice and care about what is fair and what is not fair among their social groups. They notice all kinds of differences and are eager to talk about what they observe. This includes noticing race and forming ideas about others based on race. As a white person, I have had to learn to talk openly about race, because not doing so can convey to my children that race is a taboo topic. Not everyone in our Parenting for Peace and Justice group is white, and hearing the perspective of friends of color helped me better understand my whiteness and how it influences my parenting. Parents can talk openly about gender, poverty, and the environment, and connect it to their beliefs about what is fair and unfair. This is when your collection of books representing diverse perspectives will be well utilized. Children love stories. As you read together, stop to talk about the pictures, the characters, the conflict. Ask for your child's opinion. Share your ideas, too. A bedtime story can easily tie into a nightly routine of talking with your child about the events of the day, reflecting on how God was present in each moment, and praying together. Upper elementary school action. Children at this age love to do things together. This is a time to take action as a family, like volunteering at a food bank or with your faith community, making kits for people experiencing homelessness, or joining marches or fun runs to promote issues that matter to your family. Help children realize how their actions impact those around them. Ask questions that spur them to think about and talk about problems in the community. If your children are provided an allowance, help them connect their money to the outside world by teaching them save, spend, share. One thing we do is help our children to select a charity organization to donate to on the Give Big Day every spring. Each year, the organization changes based on what our children know and care about at that time. Middle school voice. Middle schoolers have a heightened awareness about the world and the ability to respond. Our middle schoolers were hungry to talk about the social problems in their schools, such as an equitable dress code. We listen to them, talk through their issues, and encourage them to speak up at school. Kids know that the world isn't fair, and it can really bother them. We wanted to mitigate some of their stress and anxiety. So in our meetings, we highlighted hope by sharing how other kids make a difference. We also gave our middle schoolers a voice, which they loved. When one of the kids in our Parenting for Peace and Justice group turned 13, her mom asked each of us to give her a piece of advice as a gift. An older child in our group, Maddie, decided to share a blog post titled 13 Tips for Healthy Relationships. Each member of our group benefited from Maddie's idea to discuss each of the tips one by one. High school independence. High school students choose what they are interested in and initiate their own activities. They make new friends who have beliefs that differ from theirs or their families. Parents have less control of the environment of their high school student, and this is a time of release. High school students can do many things like an adult, but they still need support with decision-making. As parents, it is critical that we continue to ask questions that spur our teenagers to think about how their actions affect others. The conversations become more complex, and you find yourself disagreeing on values. We have found it best to continue asking questions and allowing our kids to experiment and explore. This stance seems most likely to result in open and ongoing communication. It is critical to have other trusted adults in your life who share your values. Sometimes a message is better received if delivered from a trusted auntie, family friend, or grandparents. As a parent, the stakes feel high. What we say and do influences how our children conceive of themselves, their family, God, and the world around them. Parenting for Peace and Justice helped me to raise and begin to answer questions of justice as they relate to parenting. I don't really know the extent to which Parenting for Peace and Justice has contributed to raising socially conscious children. My kids struggle with more than dishes. But my parenting journey has been enriched by my Parenting for Peace and Justice community. This community brought wisdom, joy, compassion, and love to the hard work of parenting. For any parents out there hoping to form a similar group, I encourage you to reach out to the Inner Community Peace and Justice Center for the Parenting for Peace and Justice program guide. May you never feel alone in the work of parenting.